And this is 848 on WBEZ. I'm Allison Cuddy. In 1909, Daniel Burnham and Edward Bennett published their Plan of Chicago. The plan laid the groundwork for many things, like reclaiming our lakefront and improving our railway and highway systems. Now, the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning, or CMAP, is working to address current challenges facing the region. For over 3 years, the agency has been gathering input from communities across Chicagoland on what's needed to help move the region successfully into the future. Their comprehensive regional plan, Go to 2040, is out today. Now, the plan takes a holistic approach, looking at issues like water conservation, housing, workforce improvement. But CMAP has the biggest stake in two issues, land use and transportation. Yesterday, we talked with Randall Blankenhorn, CMAP's executive director. He started by talking about some of the major capital projects CMAP thinks are needed to move the region's transportation in the right direction.
The first is the suite of projects at Western O'Hare, Western Access, Western Bypass. O'Hare is an incredible driver of our economy, and we need to make it more convenient. The second is an extension.
So this would go hand in hand with modernization and expansion of O'Hare.
Yeah, it supports that definitely. But it's necessary even from a ground transportation standpoint. Even if the expansion of O'Hare wasn't happening, we still need to have better access to O'Hare from the West End. The second project is the extension of Illinois 53 in Lake County. Mm-hmm. It is a relatively controversial project, and we talk about it differently.
Why so? I mean, what's your intervention in that controversy?
Our intervention is really saying that we have a transportation need here. Lake County is exploding. They have a traffic problem. But we don't want to see a traditional 300 feet of concrete slapped down in the middle of Lake County. That's not what we're interested in at all. We want to work to talk about what does a 21st century urban highway look like?
Right.
Why do we have to build it so wide? Why do we have to design it for 80 miles an hour when we're never going to go over 45? You know, how can we make it fit into the context of what its surroundings are? So we really talk about it as what does a modern boulevard look like? How do we still move people and move goods, but do it in an entirely different way? And we think this can be an example, not only for here, but for across the country, of how you have to think about urban highways. The third project is the interchange at I-57 and I-294. I'm a transportation guy by trade. That's where I came from. But I wasn't there when they built that because I have no idea why it didn't happen. It's one of only two places in America where two interstates cross and you can't interchange them. So it's a mobility and system thing. But it's also there's great economic opportunity in the southwest suburbs and the south suburbs. And this really opens that up to happen.
One of the projects on your list is the extension of the Red Line to 130th. And the city has signaled in recent weeks that that's a priority, and it could be done. I mean, if it can be fast-tracked, it could be done as early as 2016. Are you good with that, making that the priority here?
I think we are. We think that the extension to 130th Street is a key. It's one of the five we talk about. The 95th station is the busiest station outside of downtown. It's hard to get to by bus. So this opens up public transit to a whole wide variety of people that don't have good access today. It's also that area is just ripe for development, for good economic prosperity. And we think transit's a key to that. We're happy that the city thinks and the CTA thinks this is a priority. We want the purpose of these five projects is to get everybody on the same page and say these are the ones that need to move forward. We spend a lot of money on transportation in this region, and this plan's focus is on maintaining and modernizing that system. There are a handful of new major projects, but over 97% of the money that we have available, we say needs to be spent to maintain what we have and to bring it into the 21st century.
How much say do you have over where that money goes? I mean, how much is this plan not just a set of recommendations, but a blueprint?
Legally, projects have to be in our plan and they have to be in our programs in order to get federal and state funding. We don't want to look at it that we get to veto projects. What we want to do is work with the implementers, work with our partners to say, here's where the plan's headed. These are the transportation investments that we should be making. Let's work together to make sure that they're supporting where we're trying to go as a region.
So the overarching theme here is regional planning, that any local plans undertaken over the next few decades have to be mindful of the larger community. I want to talk about how that idea is going over with people. I mean, you've been working on this for a few years. Is it becoming a more accepted way of doing things, or even something that people can visualize how they would do it?
I think it is. I will admit that 4 years ago when I first started here, we'd go out and talk to particularly local elected officials, and their fear was we were going to come in and do regional zoning, and that's not it. We don't
Carve the region up into, say, five economic zones and have them make decisions.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just not really, we don't do parcel level zoning. That's not what a regional planning agency should do. It's really, again, getting them to think about how do these decisions I make impact the people around me?
But if you had your druthers, I mean, obviously the report emphasizes planning at the local level, but we're talking about thousands of local government organizations, seven counties.
Yeah, too many local governments.
Right. I mean, would you rather not have to work with all those local governments?
No, because I really don't think that you can implement a plan like Go To 2040 at a seven-county regional level. There's not a one-size-fits-all. We like to say there's not a dozen sizes fit all. The strength of our region is the diversity of our communities, and they all have different needs, but yet they fit into this whole regional concept. And so, no, I don't think that it's best if we just come in and put our ideas on top of that. I believe that what we want to do is let people think about where they fit into this bigger picture and really train them. Our local officials are out there trying to make really good decisions. We need to help them do that.
You're listening to 848 on WBEZ. I'm Allison Cuddy. We're talking with Randall Blankenhorn. He's the executive director of CMAP. That's the Chicago Metropolitan Planning Agency. And CMAP today is releasing Go To 2040, and that's its comprehensive regional plan. You know, we're talking a lot about government, and all levels of government are vital to any of this going forward or being implemented further. But within the regional plan, there's also an emphasis on a lot of free market ideas. So you talk about an increased gas tax, but you also talk about metered water use, congestion pricing, making the price we pay for parking more accurately reflect what it's worth, the value of that parking. And you talk a lot about public-private partnerships. Those have proven enormously controversial, especially within the city of Chicago. Why are these important to you in this plan? Why is that kind of free market and public-private model significant?
I think that the theory of the market-driven is that, number one, we believe in user fees, that whether it's transportation or whether it's water use, you should pay the cost of what it costs to drive or to use water. And we don't do that very well right now. You know, I like to talk about we generally pay for the delivery of water. We don't actually pay everywhere the cost of the water that we use. A lot of times, the infrastructure costs in water are hidden in other municipal budgets. They're in their maintenance budget. And so we're not even paying the cost to keep the infrastructure up to date. The same is true in transportation. We talk about congestion pricing because we think of transportation like a utility. You pay more for your electric use during peak periods, and that spreads out the peak. So it's not just a raising money issue. It's also making more efficient use of the existing system. Public-private partnerships aren't for every project, and they're not for everything.
Would you be comfortable, though, handing over drinking water supply, say, or congestion pricing, something like that, to a private entity to manage?
We really talk about public-private partnerships as true partnerships, that there needs to be a public investment that leverages private investment, that then there's public control as well. And so we really don't look at it as the Indiana Tollway example where, you know, for 99 years they sold it and they have no control over what happens other than what's in their contract. We really looked that there has to be a real partnership between the public sector and the private sector, not only to protect investment, but to protect the interests of our residents.
I mean, I think anyone looking at this plan would think that, yes, there are a lot of sensible ideas in here, ideas about how to grow, but to do so in a sustainable way. But for all the plans that we've had in this region about how to do that, what makes yours different? How do you know that any of this is implemented?
Yeah, how do I know? I guess I don't know that any of it, you know, any one piece will be. But I think in that 400-page report that we talked about, one of the differences in this plan from not only other plans in metropolitan Chicago but around the world is that this is an implementation plan. It's a strategic implementation plan. It's not a vision for these 12 policy areas. It talks about who needs to be involved, what it's going to take to get done, where the resources need to come from, so it really lays the groundwork for that next implementation step. That's absolutely essential. A nice plan that looks really pretty and sits on people's coffee table doesn't do us any good. So we really need to be focused on that implementation, and we've tried to lay out the steps to make that happen.
And so one extra question. Yeah. What is the next step?
The next step really is to talk about what we need to do at a government level, how we need to think about these 12 policy areas and moving them along. A lot of our work, to be honest, in the rest of this year and early next year is going to be working with doing technical assistance with our local communities, helping them redo their plans so that they fit into this. Even things like ordinances that our municipalities have don't even match their current plans. So even when they have good ideas, their ordinances don't allow them to do it. So we're going to spend the next 6 months, 12 months really focused on how do we get into our communities and really help them think about what they need to do to move this plan along.
Randall Blankenhorn is the executive director of CMAP, the Chicago Metropolitan Planning Agency. Today, CMAP releases Go to 2040. That's the comprehensive regional plan. You can find links to the reports, long and short, at our website, wbez.org/848. Randall Blankenhorn, thank you for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.